Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, dear ones, and hope you're doing well wherever you are. Welcome back to another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. This is the sixth and final installment on Losing the Culture War, where we took you through the lens of deviation. We talked about distortion, delusion, declaration, the decision, and finally, the destination. How does this all end? Where does it all end? Will it end? Will we be part of this grand finale? But as a backtrack and to address some of the comments that were made or sent to me via private email regarding the need for this topic and the hour for its need, I want to address a few of the issues as to the reason why I decided to embark on this. Many of you know that I have been at the forefront of trying to articulate anthropology, history, behavior, motivation, and culture, and as a result of that, alienate a vast amount of people who don't see this as a necessity in the realm of motivation. The typical rah-rah, go-get-em tiger telling you a few Horatio Alger stories, all of which are important, does actually create a great imbalance in understanding. Most recently, I've been reading a lot of information on anthropology and human history, from Oz Guinness's Free People's Suicide, talking about the decline of the American Empire, to another author talking about the end is really the beginning and talking about the benefits of the American Empire in terms of where it is positioned geographically as it pertains to all of the things necessary. So there is truth to the actual adage that culture matters, tradition matters, but more importantly, geography matters, and the place wherever you are in the world when you listen to this matters. Because a lot of tradition shapes our ideology, a lot of culture actually fosters that embryonic development as to where we were raised, how we were raised, the instruction by which we were raised. I grew up in an environment where there were social taboos all around, and that did not just limit itself to the immediate familial control, but to the extended neighbors, the extended community. There is an incident in my life when I was a rebellious teenager and a young man who was bent on destroying whatever provision and position I had because of just the desire to destroy that which was given. I believed that the world did not have a clue. I believed that I had all the answers, and as a result of it, decided to don apparel that would bring notice to me, wear my facial hair in a way that would actually make me look more gangster-esque than I pretended to, and started participating in things that were counter-culture. And I hope that those of you who are listening to this, who go through these moods, are actually paying attention, because what happens is the price you pay is very steep if the boundaries you have are not fortified. So I found myself in the confines of a place where authority figures were getting ready to arrest or detain a friend of mine who was from high profile, but he would be saved because of his high profile status. I was a below average performer and came from a family that was fairly obscure in the lens of authority. So I would be the classic case of someone they would try to make an example of. And I remember a man stepping into my life, taking me away to his house and saying, "I know your father, I know where he came from, I know the struggles he went through to achieve what he did. I know your desire to traverse the world, and as a result of that, I just want to let you know. I can let you go back into that environment and pretend you can pretend to be a hero because someone is noticing you for the idiosyncrasies of the moment, but there will be a broader price to pay, and it's called life. You have to choose right now whether you want to devolve into that animalistic behavior that would get you some notoriety in the present, or whether you want to abstain and put a curfew on your own desires and your own delusions so that the destination you choose for yourself can be one of glory and can be one of pride. I walked away sheepishly that day thinking I'd abandoned my friends. In the pursuit, I changed a lot of my habits, I changed a lot of my input, I changed a lot of my behavior. In the short term, there was indeed alienation from those culture groups who thought I had abandoned my identity. Now, these are very important attributes because if you grow up in a part of the world where color is an important demarcation because of what others who colonized you did or whatever, when you walk away from the threat of that which is familiar and try to walk into the terrain of that which is unfamiliar, this gets to that Alice in Wonderland when you come to that crossroads and the Cheshire Cat is in the tree and you ask that proverbial question, can you tell me which way I'm supposed to head? And the person, the Cheshire Cat, says, that depends on where you're going. And you say, I don't know. And the Cheshire Cat with that grin says, well, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't really matter. The destination is the most important part of losing the culture war. Again, from a Judeo-Christian perspective, I would like to posit this. Whether or not you believe in the God that I choose to follow is immaterial to the discussion. One day you will end up at the checkpoint, Charlie, of your own life. This life will be done. And at that point, you will stand at the crossroads of whatever you consider your accountability. If your accountability is the pursuit of doing endless things to please a God, or if your eternity is determined by a God who already foreknew you, it doesn't really matter. That point will come in your life, and in a temporal way, we have to make that decision. Are we going to win this culture war, or are we going to lose the culture war because we have abdicated the destination, and as a result of ours, it took all these detours and deviations and participated in this delusion? So what is the destination? Again, going back to a biblical context in my own mind, the destination is indeed the beginning. The good book says at the very start, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a beginning to this madness, and in that madness, whether that madness you subscribe to is a bang, as some people present it to, or an evolution, or some people as through creation, it doesn't really matter. Unless you understand that there was an origin to your thought process, an origin to humanity, an origin to behavior, an origin to mankind, the destination is immaterial. If you want the destination to count, if you want your journey to have mattered, if you want your presence to have had some kind of a positive impact, go back through the annals of time and ask yourself that question. When did this all begin? How did this all begin? Is there a beginning that is worthy of looking at, in the sense that, is there an origin to my own identity? The second is what we call morality. This was in my world, it gives me the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not are quite pronounced. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not dishonor. Thou shalt not have other gods. Whatever it is, are there commandments that guide your life? Is there a morality that defines your existence? If you want your destination to matter, if you want to win this culture war regardless of culture, if you want to triumph over tradition, if you want morality to matter, if you want decisive behavior to actually have an anchor in this world that families are not looking at the brokenness of children who have been estranged and seduced into this world that is debauched and demoralized, then we have to ask ourselves what guides us. What is the morality that defines us? Is there a taboo line we will not cross? Or is it going to be unsatiated pleasure? Is it going to be an unending cacophony of temptation? Is it going to be a siren song that constantly asks us to come down that path of progressive debauchery? Finally, we have to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? In our destination, we have to look at the beginning. In our destination, we have to look at the morality that guides us, that governs us, that tends us, that protects us, that comforts us, that erases what happened before, that assures us of what is coming up. But is there some guiding rule, some thread you will not break, some identity that you will not ever consider or will consider as a sacrilege if it was in some way disbanded? Look around you, my friends. Look out of your window. Listen to the airwaves. Watch the idiot tube. And even in I was making an illustration recently about a show I'm watching about a world that actually has gone blind because of a virus, and those that can see are actually considered devils and witches, and the number of people who can see is so minuscule, but the number of people who can't is so much. But even within those that can see, about 13 or 14, there is debauched behavior. There is identity that talks about love as an abstract, as something that is fluid, creation as something that is a relic of the past, evolution as to how we will go about this as something of the future. So even in the prediction and the projection of dystopian worldviews, even in the projection on our TV and on our airwaves of a dystopia and a world that is completely falling apart, whether it's that Mad Max dust and darkness or whether it's the Star Wars glitter and glint, it doesn't really matter. These debauched worldviews somehow do find themselves into the smallest percentage of people, and as such, every demographic has been affected. So this brings us to the purpose. My purpose is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and love my neighbor as myself, and to make disciples of others. Not so much in trying to coerce them to believe that which I believe, but at least offer them a glimpse into the hope of the joy I felt in what I chose. Folks, at the end of this, there is a right and a wrong, a yes and a no, a good and a bad, a black and a white. And I hope I'm not preaching to the choir here, but I hope you're getting what I'm saying. If you want to look at the destination, if we want this culture war to be won on our watch, if we want to win this culture war, we have to look at how this is going to end. And when it ends, we have to look back. Was there a beginning when all this started? Did I participate in identifying the beginning, or was I a byproduct of it as I subscribe to the time, matter, and chance arguments? Did I subscribe to a morality that was commandment-based and not convenience-ushered? Did I believe in a morality that was actually the will of God imposed in my life and given to me as a conscience to surround me and some lines I would not break? The Great Commission and the Great Commandment are the purpose by which we live. And finally, the destination itself. There will be a time when we come to the end of our journey. In joking jest, we say, when someone asks me what I want the preacher to say at my funeral, I want the preacher to say, I think he's still moving because I think I have things to do. But every time I go through a mild turbulence in the air, or I go through a big storm, or I go through some place where I see that there's catastrophe around the world, or when I see that there is some kind of a contagion, and I look that the end of the world might actually be closer in terms of its physical obliteration, there is a great peace in my heart because I'm ready to meet my Maker. But there is also this big trepidation in my heart because when I do meet my Maker, I have to ask myself, was I a contributor to this debauchery? Was I a casual attendee to this cacophony? Was I a spectator to this sinning world? Or did I stand tall for something that is sovereign? Ultimately, that's what losing the culture war, these six messages were about. I painted for you all the deviations, the delusions, and the distortions. I gave you some of the declarations that we need to take on, internalize, personalize, so we can vocalize. But this destination, there is going to come a time, and there is going to come an accountability, and there is going to come an answer. And that answer may either be in the terms of your obituary and how they write about how you lived. It may actually be in the karma testimony as what people say at your funeral. If you believe in a hereafter and a world that is secure and a world without pain and a world where everything is going to be right again, then that accountability is not going to be a place, it is going to be a person. As C.S. Lewis himself said, when I began this search, I thought I would find a place that would deliver me, but I was surprised that it was a person. Ultimately, the destination has to be the personhood of somebody that you can call God, somebody that would define your conscience, somebody that would give you that little checkup from the neck up, as my hero Mr. Ziegler would say, so you can eliminate the hardening of the attitudes which is caused by that stinking thinking. if there is a book I would encourage all of you to read, I would encourage all of you to go and read See You at the Top. Outside of the Bible, that's the book that has impressed me the most in my walk of almost 35 years as both a professional and a person who has tried to make a contribution. Hopefully you've enjoyed this series. If you liked it, please recommend it to others. The title Losing the Culture War is a talk I have done for many companies, and many people ask me to articulate it in some kind of a informal way so that they could listen to it over and over again because they couldn't take notes when I was speaking. So hopefully these six messages have given you a little bit of clarity on how we are losing this culture war and how maybe we can make a stand and win it. I hope your destination is as secure as I believe mine is. If I can't prove any iota of what I believe, I still know that living with that assurance that there is a tomorrow and that tomorrow will be guided by the one who gave me my yesterday, who has forgiven my today, and who assures me that forever. Until next time, this is your humble host, Krish Dunham, saying good luck, God bless.
That concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by SkyLife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.